Thank you. You guys are probably like, finally, the series is finally done. And in this message, I'm so excited because this is the message that started all of it 2 years ago for me. This is the message I wrote 2 years ago. I remember Aaron asking me more about this series back in December. And he's like, how many mountains were there when you researched all this? And I'm like, there's seven, but then there's like so many more. There's 13, 14, 15. I mean, you could keep going and going and going. But this mountain that I'm preaching on today is called the Nameless Mountain, the mountain with no name. And it's like, Matt, that's ridiculous, the mountain with no name. Look in Scripture how many times mountains are mentioned, but it never gives a specific name. And for me, when the Lord first started speaking this to me, it started with the Great Commission. It started with Matthew 28, and it started with verse 16. It says, then the 11 disciples went to Galilee to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. And I continued to read the rest of the Great Commission, and I was like, okay, Lord, I've heard this my whole life. I grew up in church. I know what the Great Commission is. But what's this mountain? What is this mountain here? And then I just went, he took me down a rabbit hole of mountains. And it's like, what is this mountain? And when I'm starting to research these mountains, the mountains are landmarks in the Scripture. They're encounter moments with the one true living God. But then also, he gave me that word, you have to go back to go forward. And when I was trying to steward that word, I'm like, how does this make sense with the mountains? And the Lord took me through a season. I'm 2 years out of that now. So I'm so thankful for that season. But that season was very difficult for me because I had to go back to what I believe. He rewired, restructured all these different beliefs that I had been believing growing up, or spirit of religion, spirit of legalism. And I had to go back to go forward. I'm like, that's totally reverse. But what's this mountain? What is this mountain? And I did more research on this. And this mountain was home base. When Jesus would say to the disciples, go to the mountain. What did that mean to them? This mountain that they told him about, that he told them about. And this mountain, there's one mountain that is next to the Sea of Galilee. And the name of this mountain is Mount Arbel. And I have a picture of it. It's Mount Arbel, right on the Sea of Galilee. And this mountain has so much history. It's unbelievable. Google Mount Arbel and just go back to the history of the Israelites. And I don't have time today to go through all of the history of Mount Arbel. But I remember when the Lord gave me this, when I was like, the mountain, and it's this mountain. And the Lord gave me a dream the next night when I read this, and I had a dream of me and Aaron, Pastor Aaron, climbing a mountain. And when I climbed this mountain, all I could see was everything that the Lord has done for me. And I have another picture of what it looks like on the top of Mount Arbel. This is the Sea of Galilee. Jesus did 70% of his ministry around this Sea of Galilee, around this lake. And when the Lord's given me, you have to go back to move forward, he gave me just so much insight on what the disciples seen when Jesus is giving the Great Commission. It's like when he's giving that Great Commission, all they could do was remember what the Lord showed them on these mountains, all around. So for 3 years, Jesus walked with his disciples, teaching them, eating with them, watching them fail, and calling them higher. They had climbed mountains together, literally and spiritually. They had seen his power, heard his truth, and witnessed his glory. But before he descended to the Father, there was one final mountain he wanted them to climb. And it was this nameless mountain, this landmark in their life. Scripture doesn't name this mountain. But as we can see, it's around the Sea of Galilee, the place where their journey had begun. But at this moment, at this place, it was all about the mission. The mission. The nameless mountain would be the launching point of the church. The place where Jesus gave his final command. His final command. So everything led to this mountain. So imagine standing on this mountain, Mount Arbel. Put that back up, Billy. That Mount Arbel, leave it up there, because I feel like the Lord's like, based off of what he's doing today and what he's saying in our ministry time, he's wanting us to remember. He's wanting us to remember what he's done. Remember what you've gone through. So remember. So the Lord's saying, remember today what he's done for you. So just imagine on this mountain, looking down at the Sea of Galilee, the very waters where they had walked with Jesus. From this view, they could see the shore where Jesus called them. The hill where he performed countless miracles. The hills all around Galilee where he, all the towns that he performed countless, countless miracles. Just envision that in your head. Just go back there. Go back and imagine what the disciples are seeing. The stormy waters across the water, he calmed with a word. The sea where he walked on, the fields where he fed the 5,000 and the 4,000, the hillside where he preached, the most amazing sermon that is still spoke of today as the best sermon that has ever been preached. The Sermon on the Mount. This here was the disciples, the majority of the disciples. This was their home. This is where they grew up. Their history, their encounters with Jesus, all around this Sea of Galilee. And they were looking, this was the backdrop to the Great Commission, where he was about to transform their lives like they've never known. They couldn't even imagine what we're doing here today, up on this mountain, and where we are today. So, and now, on this final mountain, in this Mountains Are Calling series, Jesus is still saying the same thing he was saying on Mount Arbel. He gives us our mission. He gave them their mission. The call that would change the world. This call changed the world. And this was a different kind of message. And this is right after Jesus rose again. So can you imagine how they felt on this mountain? They had just watched Jesus die on the cross, raise again. He's walking and talking among them. Everything they thought they knew had turned upside down. Are they asking themselves, would he establish his kingdom now on earth? Would he overthrow Rome? Would they be placed in a place of provision, in a position of power? Because that's all it was about, was being placed in a position of power. Instead, he gave them a mission that was bigger than one nation. It was bigger than any one people, any one moment in history. And this is what Jesus said on this nameless mountain in the scriptures. Matthew 28:19-20. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. But notice, he didn't just say go. The weight of his command wasn't on the going, but on what you do as you go. The Greek wording actually means, as you go, make disciples. As you go, as you baptize, make disciples. As you teach, make disciples. This mission is for everyone. Do you know what the definition of a disciple is? It's a student. It's a Christian follower of Jesus. That's one of the definitions. One of the other definitions is it's a student of a teacher. So every day we are moving through life, through conversations, through relationships. The question is, are we making disciples as we go? Are we as disciples, as being called to go and make disciples, are we making disciples as we go through this world? Up until now, every moment had been about the climb. Every single sermon we've preached in this sermon series has been about the climb. And I have to say this, we are not going to be climbing a physical mountain. That is not what we're preparing for. I'm not prepared for that. As I've told you guys the story of going to Yosemite, I was not prepared for that. Bless it, yes. I feel like I'm losing my voice. So the Lord bless me. But this mountain is different. It's about the revelation, the encounter, and the transformation. This is the mountain where the mission begins. It's just the starting point. And the climb isn't up, it is down. It's down. This is a mount, not a mountain to dwell on. It's a mountain we depart from. It's the sending place, a launch pad where everything we've learned isn't just knowledge to hold on to. It's the mandate to carry out. We aren't meant to stay on the mountain. We are not meant to stay on the hill. We are not meant to stay there. We are meant to go. We are meant to go. To take what we have been given and carry it into the world. To turn the world upside down. To turn it upside down. The mountaintop is not the destination. It's not. It's the place of sending. The mountain sends us. These six mountains that we've already went through. Noah came down from Ararat with the new covenant, with the promise. Abraham came down from Moriah with the revelation of God's provision. Moses came down from Sinai with the law. Elijah came down from Carmel with the fire of God. Jesus came down from the Mount of Transfiguration with the revelation of his glory. Jesus came down from the Mount of Olives in surrender to the Father's will. Every encounter with God, it leads to action. Every encounter that you have with the one true living God leads to action. Every mountain commissions us for the valley. Like the Lord's saying that again. Every mountain commissions us to the valley. And we descend. We don't leave the fire behind when we come off the mountain. We carry it into the world. Jesus said in John 14:15, if you love me, keep my commands. When Jesus stood on that mountain and gave the Great Commission, he didn't just say to go. He said to teach them to obey everything I have commanded. The mission isn't about making converts. It's not about getting people saved. It's not. It's about making disciples. And a disciple is marked by obedience. Most of his commands are found in the book of Matthew. When I was studying into this 2 years ago, the Lord was really, really pushing on me. Do you know what I've commanded you? Jesus, not the whole scriptures. Jesus, with his mouth, with his words. Do you know what I've commanded you to do? Can you teach new disciples, new converts, to obey my commands? And I was so convicted. I said, Lord, I don't even know all of your commands. So he had me go through all of scriptures. And there's 38 that I could find. There's probably more if you Google it. There's 38 that I could find where Jesus says, do this, do these things. So if you have a Bible today, and I just want everyone to hear me when I say this, bring your Bibles. Bring your Bibles. I know it's easy and convenient to have your phone, but I'm telling you, there's something about when you read the physical Word of God out of a Bible. I don't care what translation you're reading out of. I just mean a physical Bible. I try to put a Bible everywhere that I know I'm going to be. My wife can contest that at our house, we probably have 50 Bibles because I have them everywhere. I have them here in the church. I have them everywhere. I want the Bible. I want the Bible. She said they're in the bathroom. They are. I want it to be everywhere that I go. I want to be so consumed by the Word of God that when the enemy lies to me, when I hear his deceptions, that I know the Word of God, I know the truth, and it will set me free. I'm telling you, there's something about reading out of this scripture, out of this book. I don't know what it is. It's the Word of God speaking to me through these words. I'm telling you, bring your Bibles. Don't believe, like today, don't believe everything I'm saying. Everything that I'm saying, the sermon that I wrote, don't believe it. Don't believe me. When I say something from the stage, or anybody who says something from a stage or a sermon or anything, you need to test it with the Word of God. You need to learn what it is to be a disciple, to be a student, not of Matt, not of Aaron, but of Jesus. I'm telling you, it's so important. So don't believe every sermon. This is supplement. What we're doing today, Sunday mornings, a sermon that you watch. I've told this to Aaron. I feel like it's so over-consuming for me to try to find a sermon or listen to all the great pastors, the great prophetic voices. When they're speaking, because I feel like I'm so overwhelmed because I'm getting so much from God. I'm listening what they're saying, and I'm getting so much from them that I feel like I'm going to explode. It's like all of this is supplemental. This book right here, this physical book, is primary. Get into your Bibles. Believe the Word of God. Believe it. Get it. I go to bed every night with the earbud in my ear, listening to the Bible. I'm trying to get through the Bible in 3 months, and it's unbelievable how much knowledge I'm getting just from going through it and consuming it as fast as I possibly can. I've never done that before. I've never done the Bible in a year. And as soon as I started the Bible in the year, the Lord's like, now double it. And then I was like, okay, we said we were going to go slow with this, Lord. And he's like, double it. And then I double it, and then he says, double it again. Go to bed with it in your ear and earbud. Yeah. It's like, I want to be consumed and I want to eat every word of God. He's preparing us that where we can't trust every prophetic voice, you have to listen to the word of God for yourself. You have to know it. All this is supplemental. It's confirmation for what you're hearing from the Lord. For you, I'm not saying for the whole church. I'm not saying for our church in general. I'm saying for you, for you. And that's what we do as disciples, as students of him. And he says in the Great Commission, I will be with you to the very end of the age. He is with you. He is inside of you. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus is inside of you as a believer. So when you read his word, it's him speaking to you. And he gives you revelation that you never understood. I don't know how to explain it. I wish I could. I wish I could articulate it. I really wish I could. Like I've said before, I'm just an old country boy and I like it simple. And I know when I read the word of God that he speaks to me. So don't use this Sunday morning or a sermon or a message as your primary source of consuming God. Don't do it. Don't do it. I'm telling you, if you want to be strengthened in the Lord, if you want to walk in freedom, if you want to love God, live free, build your family, and bring the kingdom, this right here is not what you do. It's not. And I know it's hard. I get it. I have two toddlers. I have twin boys that are almost two. They're everywhere. They're in everything. Put the earbud in when they're sleeping. Listen to the word of God. Read it. It's so important. It's so important. So Jesus didn't leave us guessing. He gave us the commands. They're in the word of God. They're in the word of God. So read it, see it, take every word of it and consume it. I just pray that over you guys right now. I just pray this over our church, that we will get a hunger and a thirst for the word of God that cannot be quenched other than consuming all of it as fast as we can possibly get it. So if you have your Bibles today, turn it to Matthew. And if you're like, I can't read the whole Bible, read Matthew. Read Matthew. When you first get saved, you're like, all right, read the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I'm telling you, if I just had Matthew, the book of Matthew, I wouldn't need the rest of the Bible. Just the one book of Matthew. And I'll be honest with you, if I just had the Sermon on the Mount, I don't think I would need anything else. So Jesus didn't leave us guessing. Throughout his ministry, he gave clear commands that define the life of a disciple. And I'm just going to go through these real quick. I felt like the Lord, I was like, man, I could preach on every single one of these commands. And I'm not going to do that to you guys. I know I can preach for a long time, but I can tell the Lord's like, this needs to be quick. With my voice, he's like, don't go an hour and 45 minutes. And this isn't an attack from the enemy. This is the Lord saying, keep it simple, stupid. It's like, okay, I'll keep it simple, Lord. So I'm just going to go through these really quick. So if you have your Bibles, please turn them to Matthew. Your homework for today, your homework for this week is to read Matthew 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8. Like just those books, or just those chapters. Just read that. So Matthew 4, it says, number one, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. Number two, come and follow me. Number three, rejoice when you're persecuted in my name in Matthew 5. Let your light shine before all people. Number five, be reconciled to one another. Number six, take sin very seriously. Number seven, keep your word. Number eight, turn the other cheek. Number nine, go above and beyond. Number 10, the one that the disciples had so much struggle with, love your enemies. Number 11, but be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Wow, that's so hard. That's a command. Number 12, chapter 6, focus on spiritual disciplines for the right reasons. Number 13, put your efforts in the right place. Number 14, seek God's kingdom first of all. Number 15, do not worry about tomorrow, because tomorrow will worry about itself. Number 17, practice discretion. Matthew 7, ask, seek, and knock. Treat others as you would like to be treated. Number 20, choose the narrow path of life. Number 21, look out for false prophets. Number 22, pray for the kingdom laborers. Pray for kingdom laborers. Yes, God, we pray for kingdom laborers. That's in Matthew 9. Matthew 10, be on your guard. Be on your guard. Do not fear prosecute. Do not fear persecutors. The Lord's like, say that clearly. Do not fear persecutors. That one did not want to come out. Do not fear persecutors. Do not fear those who persecute you for his sake. Okay. Number 25. Oh, man. Chapter 11. Take my yoke upon you. My burden is easy. My yoke is light. Matthew 18. Do not despise the little ones. That's a command from Jesus. How to deal with offenders, number 27. Number 28, practice forgiveness. I like how I wrote that. I said practice forgiveness, because forgiveness is not easy. We have to practice it. Matthew 20, lead through service. Lead through service. Matthew 22, he said this is his greatest command. My one command above all is love your God with all your heart, mind, and soul. He says that in Matthew 22. His greatest command is love God with all your heart, mind, and soul. And the second one, love your neighbor as yourself. Matthew 24, stay alert and keep watch. Stay alert and keep watch. Number 33, the one we're talking about today, make disciples of all nations. Number 34, deny yourself in Luke 9. In Luke 12, it says, watch out for greed. He says, watch out for greed. Luke 14, give to those who can't reciprocate. Give to those who can't give back. Number 37, you must be born again. John 3, 7. John 14, 15. Number 38, my last one that he has that I could find. If you love me, if you love me, keep my commands. Keep my commandments. I just want to read the Great Commission one more time. Matthew 28, 19 through 20. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age. Jesus didn't say, teach them everything I commanded. He says, teach them to obey. Obey everything I have commanded. That's totally different. I can teach you up here all day. I can just say these out loud like I am today. But to teach you to obey them is totally different. So he didn't say in the Great Commission just to teach his commands. He says, teach them to obey his commands. And it's not just one command. It says everything. I feel like the Lord, when I read that, it was in bold. Everything. The Great Commission is not about knowing what Jesus said. It's about living what Jesus said. True discipleship is marked by surrender, transformation, and obedience. 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 The Lord's like, he just hammers that to me over and over. Obey, obey, obey. So we just don't ascend the mountain. We're talking about mountains still. So we just don't descend from the mountain with knowledge. We descend with a mission. We descend with a mission. Jesus commanded us to what? To go. To go. So what do we do? What do? We go. We go. Jesus commanded us to make disciples. So what do? We make disciples. We make disciples. Jesus commanded us to obey. So what do? We obey everything he's commanded. Everything he says, we obey. So as we go, we don't just proclaim the message. We carry the fire into the valley, teaching others not just to hear his word, but to live them. It's totally different. I can get up and say it all day long, his words, but teaching you to live them is so much harder, because guess what you have to do? It's not on me, it's on you. You have to do it. You have to do it. So it's like, Lord, how do I teach them to obey? I can't. We can't. He can only teach you to obey. Because he is the Lord and Master. He is the teacher. You're not a disciple of Matt. You're not a disciple of Aaron. You're not a disciple of Free People Church. You're a disciple of the one true King. It's that simple. So we can't do it. We can't teach you to obey. The journey doesn't end on the mountaintop. It ignites a mission that must continue in the valley. We can get you to the top of the mountain. In worship, we can get you to the top of the mountain. And you're on there for a little bit. And you're like, praise God. Wasn't God just so good in church this week? I just felt the Holy Spirit so strongly in worship. But when the pastor or the preacher got up, I didn't feel the Lord anymore. Because guess what? You've closed your ears. You've closed your eyes. You've closed your heart to the word of God. Because obedience is hard. Obedience is hard. So we have to prepare you for the valley, because you have to do it on the valley. You have to walk the valley. I can't walk it for you. So now as we take the fire down from the mountain, we step into the battlefield of faith. This is what we're doing this summer. And this spring, we're stepping into the battlefield of faith. And as Jesus taught us, when we encounter obstacles, we don't shrink back. We speak to the mountains and command them to move. Because we've taught you the mountain of sacrifice, the mountain of new beginnings, the mountain of surrender, the mountain of transfiguration. We've walked through these six mountains, the mountain of covenant, the mountain of promise. But we haven't taught you about the mountain of pornography, or the mountain of fear, or the mountain of anxiety, or the mountain of depression, or the mountain of weakness. But I'm telling you this, once you've faced that mountain, once you've climbed that mountain once, you have everything that you need to tell that mountain to go into the sea and cast it away. I'm telling you, once you've conquered it, you have the authority. You've already been there. When you walk that mountain of sacrifice and the Lord says, give this up. Oh, man, I like that, Lord. Because the Lord, this past year, had me give up coffee for 9 months. And it was like, I'm climbing the mountain of coffee. I'm climbing the mountain of coffee. And I didn't know how long it was going to be. Because it's one of those things where the Lord's like, you're too reliant and too dependent on coffee. And you're not too dependent. You're not. It's pulling you away from me, your dependence on me.
And I'm like, man, it's just coffee, Lord, just coffee. And he's like, I want it. And I'm like, man, okay. So I'm climbing this mountain of sacrifice. But guess what? He's already made me give up so much harder things in the past. He's made me surrender and sacrifice my whole life to him, my schedule, how I disciple my family, how I come in here and love on you guys, how I've sacrificed the flesh. I've died to Matt. Matt has been put on the altar. And when he says, give up coffee, and I'm like, man, that's so hard, Lord. And he's like, come on, man. I'm like, it's coffee. It's coffee. And I'm like, well, I've already climbed this mountain of sacrifice. So all I got to say to this mountain is, go into the sea in Jesus' name. And I'm not saying it wasn't hard. It was hard for the first 2-3 weeks with the headaches and drowsiness and stuff. But after that, I felt so much better. It's like, man, I don't need this coffee. Why do I even? If I never drink another cup of coffee in my life, I'll be okay. So 9 months later, the Lord one day was like, you can have coffee. And I'm like, really? I can have a cup of coffee today? And he's like, yeah, you've learned your lesson. Like, you've learned what I've tried to teach you here. So when you have that mountain in front of you, the Lord's already given us the tools. He doesn't keep us guessing. He doesn't. It's so clear. Get in your Bibles. So, yet, what good is a mission if mountains, whether old ones revisited or new ones rising, stand in the way? They stand in your path. Jesus just didn't command us to go. He gave us the power, the authority to remove every obstacle in our path. And like, Matt, it's in scripture. It's like all of us have heard these Matthew 17:20. He replied, because you have so little faith, truly I tell you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. Mark 11, he says the same thing in verse 23. Truly I tell you, if anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in their heart, but believes that that they will happen, it will be done for them. I feel like the Lord's like, say that again. You messed that up. Okay. Truly I tell you, if anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in their heart, but believes that what they say will happen, it will be done for them. Yes, I got it out. Matthew 21:21, he says it again. Truly I tell you, if you have faith and do not doubt, not only can you do what was done to the fig tree, but you can also say to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea and it will be done. It's like the second time he had to say that. It's like, man, come on, guys, get it. Get it through your thick skulls that you can say to these mountains, move. And that's what he's saying there. He's not saying, okay, this physical mountain, as we're standing in front of Mount Everest, and it's like, move. And the Everest is still there. He's saying this spiritually. He's saying this when this obstacle comes in your way, you can tell it to move. And it will move. Huh. So Jesus knew that after the mountain of encounter, we would walk into the valley of battle. He wasn't sending us to be defeated. He's not sending us to be defeated. He's sending us with authority, his authority. He did this before the Great Commission with the disciples. He gave them the same authority he has. And they went out and cast out demons, healed the sick, and made disciples. Before the Great Commission. That's before the Holy Spirit. How does that work? I don't know, but he gave them his authority. And we have that same authority. The Great Commission is the path. But mountains will rise up. I feel like the Lord's saying, teach them to climb. Teach them to climb. Mountains will rise up. They will. Mountains of fear, mountains of doubt, mountains of sin, mountains of opposition, persecution. They will rise and try to block the way. But Jesus has already given us the weapon to clear the path. Do you guys know what it is? The Word. His words. When we say His words, we walk in His authority. He gives us His words. When the enemy tries to stand in the way, we don't climb those mountains again. Stop climbing the same mountain over and over and over. Stop climbing the same mountain. We cast them into the sea. And today I just say to any mountain that's in front of us, we cast you into the sea. But I love this. He goes before us. The fire goes before us. We don't just walk a path. We set the trail ablaze. We set it on fire. Noah descended the Mount Area with a new mandate, stepping into a world cleansed by judgment, called to rebuild and multiply under God's covenant, His promise. Abraham descended Mount Moriah with a greater faith, carrying the revelation that God Himself will provide a lamb. And that's foreshadowing Jesus. Moses descended Mount Sinai with God's law in his hands, charged with leading the people into obedience. Oh, bless Moses. Leading his people into obedience and covenant with the Lord. Elijah came down from Mount Carmel, filled with the power of holy fire, standing against that Jezebel and raising up Elisha and the sons of the prophets who carried his mantle, ultimately leading Israel back to God. You guys know I get fired up with that. Jesus descended the Mount of Transfiguration, having revealed his true glory. And I feel like the Lord is trying to, he's saying this, no one gets glory but him. I feel like that's what he's saying that so strongly, that no one out of this revival, no one out of what he wants to do, out of a move of God, gets glory except for him. He always takes it first. That was Saul's downfall. He took the glory. The Lord does not share his glory. I've said this before. He is a glory hog. He is. So on the Mount of Transfiguration, he revealed his true glory, preparing his disciples to walk the road of suffering while opening their eyes to the greater glory beyond the cross. Jesus descends the Mount of Olives with full surrender, stepping into the darkness of Gethsemane, ready to drink the cup of suffering for the salvation of the world. These are the six mountains that we've been teaching, but we still have this mountain in front of us, the nameless mountain. Every encounter with God demands action. It demands it. He demands it. He doesn't give it for no reason. Every mountain prepares us for one thing alone, the mission. The mission. And when we descend, we just don't walk into the valley. We carry the fire that transforms everything in our path. When we walk off this mountain and we walk in true freedom, loving God, living free, building our families, and bringing his kingdom, his heaven, down to earth, we transform everything in our path. We step into the valley, bringing the kingdom with us. 2 years ago, the Lord branded this verse, these verses on me. Isaiah 40, verse 3 through 5. A voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain, and the glory of the Lord will be revealed. And I love how it says this at the end. And all people will see it together. All people will see it together. It's like, Matt, that is the mandate that John the Baptist walked in to prepare the way for Jesus. That's the same thing we are walking in. Is this prophecy completely fulfilled? Has every person seen it? Has everybody seen the glory of the Lord? Where does it say every eye will see, every knee will bow? This spring and summer, we are bringing the fire, but we are being sent to take the mountain of Mount Oreb. We are stewarding this word, ascending the hill of God, and taking the mountain. The mountain before us is Mount Oreb. So how are we going to do it, Matt? How are we going to take Mount Oreb? What is our mission? We're going to take it by loving people the way that Jesus loves them. Living free from the enemy's bondage and walking in the Lord's truth, in his word. Building our families in unity and purpose. And bringing his kingdom to this mountain before us. Jesus has commanded us to go. To proclaim the gospel, make disciples, and see his power transform lives. But the mission is more than salvation. It is preparation. All of this is for a reason. We are here to prepare the way for the return of the King. That's why we're here. To bring the kingdom of heaven down to earth. Just as John the Baptist in the spirit of Elijah was sent to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the hearts of the fathers, we carry the same mandate. A generation must arise in the power and spirit of Elijah, calling people to repentance. Restoring families and igniting a fire of holiness and devotion before the great and terrible day of the Lord. That is Malachi 4. Our lamps must be burning. They must be burning. We will not let our oil run dry. We can't. We have to have our lamps burning and waiting. We will be found awake. This church will be found awake, filled with the Spirit, and ready for his coming. This is not the time to shrink back. I feel like the Lord was saying this multiple times to me when I was writing this. This is not the time to shrink back. It is time to stand. It is time to proclaim. It's time to call the lost ones home. This is the time we're living in. Jesus said, go and make disciples. This is not a suggestion. This is not, okay, I'll do it later. No, this is his commands. It's our calling. It's our mandate. We will go because he has sent us. We will preach because he has spoken. We will heal in his name because he has empowered us. And until he returns, we will not stop. every one of us as being disciples, as being a Christian. You cannot stop. You don't have days off. You're like, Matt, you're a pastor. It doesn't matter. You don't even need me. We are not sent in word alone. So what's awesome. And then he says, I will be with you in the Great Commission. So it's not just his word. He is with us. So he says, we are not sin and word alone, but in power and authority. He is inside of us. So he's walking with us. That is the fire that we got to carry into the valley. It's him. It's him. The power to heal, the power to restore, the power to deliver. We will cast out demons, break chains, and set captives free in his name. The gospel is not a message. It is the power of God to destroy. To release the oppressed, to destroy strongholds, and to reclaim freedom to those in darkness. This is the mission of the kingdom. This is the mission. It should be every Christian's mission. I feel like the heart of the Father just breaks because this should be our mission. This is the mission of the kingdom. And I feel like the Lord saying, and that's why you must go. We have to go. Mark 16. Jesus says the same thing as he's saying in Matthew 28. He said, and he said to them in verse 15, go into the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. These signs will follow. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up snakes with their hands, and when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. What he's saying is that you will not be hurt. It will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on the sick, and they will be healed. This is the commission. It's said twice, Matthew and Mark, the Great Commission. The cross has spoken. The tomb is empty. The King is alive. And until the day he splits the sky, we will go and tell the world about him. We will show the world this is the one true living God. This is Jesus. We are the voice crying out in the wilderness. Prepare the way for the Lord. Prepare the way for the Lord. It's been preached for over 2,000 years. Prepare the way for the Lord. And we're not prepared. There's one final mountain for all of us. Every single one of us. It's not this mountain that we walk. Aaron talked about it last week. There's one final mountain. And this is not a mountain that we're going to. This is the mountain we're waiting for. Zechariah 14, 3 through 4 says, then the Lord will go out and fight against those nations as he fights on a day of battle. On that day, his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives. He ascended from a mountain, and he's coming back on a mountain. The last mountain is not the one we climb. It is the one that we wait for, and we are waiting for his coming. We are waiting. So we started this whole series, ascending the hill, ascending these mountains, climbing these mountains, the mountain of sacrifice, the mountain of covenant, the mountain of promise. The mountain of surrender. But now we descend the mountain of the calling. We descend this nameless mountain, the mountain with no name. We don't stay on a hill. We don't stay on the mountain. We carry the fire down. The Great Commission is not just a call to climb. It's a call to go. How did I start my first sermon, the Mountain of Sacrifice? What did I ask you guys? What was the question that I asked? Will you go? The mountains are calling. Will you go? And how did I finish it? The mountains are calling. Will you go? It still has not changed. The mountains are in front of us. We have to go. The mountains are calling. And this mountain of Mount Oreb is calling. We step into this valley as we step off this mountain that this church is on right here. We've built a mountain of God here. It's time to step off of it and go. We step into the valley, bringing the kingdom with us. The Lord's like, say Isaiah 40 again. A voice of the one calling in the wilderness. Prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up. Every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level. The rugged places a plain. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed. And all people will see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. This is his word. The mission is not just for this moment. The mission is for a movement. We've heard Aaron say this. It's not about here. It's not about what I can do. It's not about this mission. It's about a movement, a move of God. When we pray for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit, that's what we're praying for, a move of God. Because when God moves, nothing will stand in his way. Nothing. No man, no person, no demonic, no, not even Satan. Like I said last time, Satan has no power. When God is moving, it will not be stopped. It will not slow down. It is coming like a freight train, and it will not stop. And I feel like the Lord's saying, will you be a part of it? Will you steward what the Lord is doing? And that is not just for the leadership of Free People Church. It's for every single person who calls Jesus his Lord or her Lord. In one day, oh man, in one day, the Lord tore me up a couple Fridays ago. It's probably been a couple months. And I just prayed in a house of prayer on Friday. Lord, let today be the day. I'm on fire for you. My lamp is burning bright. I want to see you. I want to see you split that sky. I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm ready to see you. So one day, when every nation has heard, when every heart has been reached, when every soul has had a chance to encounter him, he will return. He will return. And I'm just going to go ahead and invite the worship team to come on up and our ministry team too. The mountains are calling. The mountains are calling to go back to where I went 2 years ago and have to rewalk through where I've been 2 years ago to preach this message was very difficult. I was in a completely different place 2 years ago than what I am today, but the Lord set it ablaze. This nameless mountain, this mission, it doesn't change. And that's what he told me when I was preparing. It's still the same. It's like, Matt, you have a niche. Prepare the way for the Lord, the spirit of Elijah. Guess what? it hasn't changed. It will never change in me. This is what I'm here to do. This is my purpose for being here, is to prepare the way for the Lord. I feel like that's a mandate for every single one of us, is to prepare the way for the Lord. And he's coming back. He's coming back. So the mountains are calling, church. They will always be calling. Always be calling. But now we've been to the top of the mountain. Now the valley is calling. The valley is calling. But Matt, in Isaiah 40, he says he's going to raise up the valleys. So guess what? In the valleys, when it feels like it's so impossible to go out and share your faith or share your testimony with someone, you have that same encounter on the mountaintop that you have in the valley. When you're in the valley, you have the mountaintop experiences. It doesn't change. Because what is the Lord calling us to do? What is a disciple? What do? We obey. And when he says, share, tell the world about me, tell the world what I've done for you, tell this person that Jesus loves them and that you love them. You have a mountaintop experience in the valley. When you defeat that mountain again and you tell it to cast into the sea and you see it move, you have a mountaintop encounter in the valley. When you see someone healed and they've been praying for 20 some years, and when you see that prayer finally come through, you see the Lord heal them. They've been in that valley for 20 years, but in an instant, they're on that mountaintop. I'm telling you, once you see it, once you know it, once you have that revelation, you can't unsee it. It can't be undone. So the mountain is calling. If you're wanting ministry, if you want someone to help you through the valley right now, I just want to ask you to come up and let one of our ministry team members pray with you to bring you on top of that mountain today. The mountains are calling. Will you go? I feel like that's what the Lord's saying. He's saying, come. Come. And I'm just want to ask you guys a question. Everyone in here, and I love you. Will you go? Will you go? Whew. Lord, I just pray right now that every heart, every eye, every ear here heard your word today, and that they get a hunger and thirst for more of your word, and that they get a hunger that can't be quenched, a thirst that can't be quenched with nothing else other than your word, your Bible, your scriptures. And they will consume it and consume it and consume it, and your sons and daughters will be on fire to trail the path of the Great Commission, because you've called us to go, so we must go. And I just thank you for that. I give you all the praise and honor and glory that you deserve. And I pray all